I'm very glad to welcome Michael Musker. Now, Michael is a senior research fellow at SAMRI, the South Australian Health Medical Research Institute, and he's a senior lecturer at Adelaide University and Flinders. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Davis.
Now, you've done a lot of work on obesity and also looking at obesity and depression. So if people got questions for you, give us a call, 1-300-222-891. But we better begin with some definitions. What is obesity?
So obesity is somebody who has a BMI of more than 25. So 25 to 30 in your BMI, which is your body mass index.
Right.
Would be overweight. And then when you get to 30 to 35, you're then considered obese, which can cause other health problems. Now, we are talking also about depression.
Yeah.
So depression, you have to have 5 of 9 symptoms that are recognized by your doctor or your psychiatrist, who would assess you whether you're having sleeping difficulties, whether you have low mood every day. So there are about 5 symptoms that they would add up, and they would then consider you to have depression. Now, depression is 1 in 10 in the population,
right?
Or 300 million people across the world, 1 million people in Australia.
Wow.
Now, obesity and overweight.
Yeah, how many of us are obese?
There's 300 million people who are obese and overweight, the same as depression. And in Australia, it's 67% of adults are overweight or obese. And that will be 36% are obese and 31% are overweight.
You do see some people who have been carrying a bit of weight, but they look quite healthy. And then they lose stacks of weight. And they said, no, I'm actually down to where I should be. And they don't look well. They look so skinny. Is that because we have adjusted? We've got used to seeing people who are really fat, so that we have a different appreciation of what actually a healthy person should look like.
Yeah, so there are many social dynamics in relation to weight. We see these fancy magazines with young girls in that look skinny, and that's then considered to be normal by most people because that's all you see in the magazines. You don't see the average person. So dieting becomes a problem. Everyone's trying to get to some ideal that they can't achieve.
Right.
We say in the work we've been doing that dieting is a dirty word. It actually causes problems because you start starving yourself. The body becomes obsessed with food and you go on a yo-yo type thing where you'll restrict your diet or, you can't survive on, milky powdered drinks for the rest of your life. If you want to diet, you have to change your whole lifestyle, not just your what you eat, but your physical activity, but also the way you think about yourself. Now, people with depression often wake up in the morning feeling bad about themselves. Mm. They wake up with self-hatred, self-criticism. If someone looks at them the wrong way, they start criticizing themselves. So the problem with depression is it puts you in a bad state to start with, and then people comfort eat in order to make themselves feel better. So comfort eating becomes a big problem.
What causes the depression? Does the obesity cause the depression, or does the depression cause the obesity?
That's the ideal question, David, because one feeds into the other. It's a chicken and egg scenario. So if you feel bad about yourself, you eat to get to for comfort.
Right.
And so by eating, you then feel bad about yourself, and that feeds into your depression. So it's a circular type a thing, and you need to somehow crack that.
Yeah.
Now, people who are depressed have a low motivation to change. So you have to work on, an holistic approach to changing your weight. So first you've got to work on yourself, and then you've got to work on your diet.
Yeah. Now, this is a question without notice. So I'll understand if you're batted away, but there is a lot of publicity at the moment towards a new dieting program. I think it's called Noom or something. You see a lot, it's being advertised on telly, and there are all these healthy looking people who are on the telly and they're saying, this is fantastic. It's changed my life because it deals with the psychology of eating. Now, I don't know anything more than what I've seen on the telly, but I mention that because I imagine many of our listeners have seen these ads.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to endorse or whatever the product, but is the psychology actually where people need to go?
Well, this is what the research we did is saying, that you have to work on your cognitive you know, your negative thinking, the thought traps that you might get into, like, I always fail, I can't do this. You need to work on those aspects. And I believe that's what Noom's about. We have a program at Samri, for example, called the Be Well Plan. And that you can find that on the bewellplan.com. And that's about looking at your whole life. It's looking at what motivates you. Why would you want to change? You're looking at your values and your beliefs. So that's the what we do at the Wellbeing Resilience Centre at Samri.
Yeah. Is there anything wrong with being obese? I mean, some people might actually be quite happy in that weight. And, you know, stop giving me a guilt trip. I'm happy with the weight I am. Leave me alone.
That's a very good point, because being overweight is not necessarily a problem if you're healthy. And again, that's one of the cognitive things that we teach people, is you don't have to lose weight. You can change your lifestyle, do more movement. You certainly have to, you know, the World Health Organization recommends that we do 150 minutes of exercise per week as a minimum. So you need to move more to stay healthy. So if you are overweight, you are large, it doesn't mean that you're unhealthy. And if you're happy with yourself, then that's not a problem.
Okay. All right. Now, you might have a question or a comment for Michael Musker. He's a senior research fellow at Samri, but he's also a senior lecturer at Adelaide and Flinders Universities. The numbers to call are 1-300-222-891, and the text line's 0467-922-891. Now, listener on the text line asks, how much does fluid retention contribute to being overweight? Is fluid retention an issue?
Well, our body is 65% water, and I would recommend that people look up the Australian Dietary Guidelines. If you want to know how to diet and eat healthily, look those up. You can just Google it, Australian Dietary Guidelines, and that tells you to drink lots of water. So water retention is not a problem. Water is very good for you and can actually reduce your appetite.
Okay. Can a person always do something about being overweight?
Well, the question is, how did I get there? How did I get to being overweight? It's slow and insidious, and it can take many years to get into an overweight situation. And then suddenly you realize, I put on too much weight, I need to change. So people have, life gets in the way, is what I would say. People have complex lifestyles. They have maybe five kids that they've got to look after. Losing weight becomes a low priority.
Steve on the text line says, good morning. I was obese. My doctor told me it was time to lose weight. I think I was depressed and I turned to eating just for the sake of it. Touching on diabetes, so he's getting close to being diabetic, high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So he's got all the issues associated with being overweight. He does need to do something.
Yeah.
He says he went from 114 kilograms to yesterday weighing in at 85.6. It can be done. That's quite an achievement, isn't it? But is Steve, despite all of his good efforts, because he's been up to 114, is he at risk of seesawing?
He certainly is, because he's achieved an amazing weight loss. And gradually, he's got to maintain that over time. So gradually, he might fall back into his old habits. So as long as he looks as his whole lifestyle,
yeah,
and not just eating, not just being overweight, he's got to look at his whole life and where food fits in for him.
Yeah. Another listener asks, how do you break that cycle of feeling bad and comfort eating?
So you've got to maybe check those negative thoughts about yourself, start trying to think about positive things. Now, one thing that we found at Samri is mindfulness is very helpful for most mental health issues. So practicing daily mindfulness, doing activities like yoga that make you feel good. It might be a selfish time that you take for yourself. So breaking those activities, that mental negative thinking, you need to put in a plan that basically turns your negative thinking into positive thinking. Write down things that are good about yourself, all your achievements, put them on the fridge and say them to yourself every day.
Right.
Have a gratitude journal, but certainly mindfulness is something that...
What's a gratitude journal? What's a gratitude?
So when you wake up in the morning, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that I live in a beautiful place called Adelaide. You know, I'll walk around the river because it's a beautiful place. I work with great people. I meet nice people like you, David, so I'm thankful for that. So you can just look at the positive things, that small things that you feel good about. So that's gratitude, and write them down. By writing them down, it reinforces them.
Okay. Andrew from Birkenhead Senses, this is an interesting text. He says, my uncle was misdiagnosed with depression because he ticked all the boxes. It wasn't until the third doctor did a blood test to find out that his testosterone was lowish. So he started TRT. What's that?
Some people have a thing called hypothyroidism.
Right.
So your thyroid produces thyroxine. And it needs to be the right level for your body to be active. Now, when it falls, you become a bit sluggish and slow. So people with a thyroid problem would be slowed down, and it looks like depression. So one of the things a doctor will look for first is assess your thyroid function and test, and test how much thyroxine you've got in your blood.
Yeah. Well, he says he finally got this tested, and he's 65. He's lost 25 kilograms and is running around like a young man while also being more engaged with his grandchildren. When will doctors lift their game? I suppose there are many, many things you've got to think about here, and maybe one of them would be testosterone.
Well, there has been some research done on as you get older, your testosterone lowers. And Professor Gary Witter, for example, at SAMRI has been doing some research in that area by injecting people with testosterone to see if it affects them. Now, that research is ongoing, as I understand, so I couldn't really comment on that.
No, fair enough. Now, your research has looked at the link between depression and obesity. Tease that out for us. What did you find?
So we found that people had some body shame issues. So they feel ashamed about the way they look. So they wouldn't go to the gym, for example, because of their size, and they think people will look at them. Instead of thinking, you know, people will look at me and thinking, you know, good on you and, you know, well done for going. They'd think in a negative way, thinking they're going to be staring at me. I really can't get into that. So we would be looking at all of those sort of negative thinking issues.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they might say, well, I can't die because I always fail. It's not worth me doing it. It's a form of learned helplessness.
Yes.
So we were helping drag people, if you like, out of that situation and help them to think more positively about themselves, really working on that psychological functioning. And we use a process called cognitive behavioral therapy.
And how does that work?
So cognitive behavioral therapy, it's like think, feel, do. So we connect the thinking, the feeling, and the behaviour.
So give me a practical example.
So I feel anxious, I feel low. So that's my feeling.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking, sorry. I don't feel good today. That's a thinking.
Yeah.
So then my feeling, I feel anxious about that. I feel low in mood.
Right.
And my behaviour then...
So there's a lot of negative talk going on in the head.
Yeah, and then my behaviour is then I'll eat to comfort myself.
Right.
And then because I've eaten, I then feel bad about it.
Yeah.
So then that feeds back into the emotion.
Yes. And there's a lot of negative self-talk. Oh, you're a bad
exactly.
person. You're a failure. You're never
going to get. You form a loop.
So how do you break all of that?
So by acknowledging those thoughts and saying, actually, when I think, you actually recognise the pattern.
Yes.
I have these anxiety feelings and I feel low. This is the way I feel, and this is the way I act. Well, let's look at changing those. So by looking at how you behave, looking at how you think, you can start to challenge that thinking.
Mm.
If I feel bad about myself, what are those thoughts exactly? Write them down. Let's challenge some of this negative thinking.
Mm.
Where is the evidence for it? Because usually there's no evidence. It's just in your head.
Right. So what was the goal of this trial that you were working on at SAMRI? Was it to get people to lose weight for all of the physical benefits of having a lower weight, not being obese, or was it to feel good about themselves so that they, you know, regardless of their weight,
yeah,
life was worth living?
So you asked me the question earlier, is being big a problem? Well, if you're healthy and big, it's not a problem. So let's work on all of those factors, like the psychological issues, and hopefully you can become healthy by being more active, for example. So I would say that the psychological aspects are much more important than the physical. If we can get the mental right, then the physical will follow.
Because it's all about... ultimately, your quality of life is about what's going on in your head, isn't it? I mean, obviously, if you're pain, or, you know, if you can't get out, they're all the physical limitations that come with having an ailment. That's why we're discussing this. But at an even more fundamental level, you've got to live inside your head.
It's your values and beliefs, and you know, how you look at yourself. As I say, self, the shaming issue is a problem. Yeah. If you wake up every morning and feel bad about yourself,
yeah,
you know, I don't feel that. So you wouldn't like to feel like yourself, David. So that's a big problem.
Yeah. Another text coming. Lots of texts coming in on this topic of obesity and depression. We're talking to Michael Musker. He's a senior research fellow at the Samri Institute and a senior lecturer at Adelaide and Flinders University. This text says, and I hadn't heard of this, but says, are the Dr. Michael Mosley weight control strategies, e.g. fast 800 and 5-2 fasting, regarded by mainstream medicine as credible?
Well, in the next office to me at Samri is Professor Leonie Heilbronn, and she's working on intermittent fasting. So she's doing some research on that at the moment. But the evidence that's out there that I understand is that it does help you lose weight. But do you want to live like that for the rest of your life? This is the program that we looked at. We want you to change your lifestyle, one that you can achieve for the rest of your life, not one that you can achieve like for 6 months. So the Mosley sort of diet is maybe short term, unless you can sustain it for the rest of your life. Can you eat, for example, between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the rest of your life and not eat outside those times? Because that's what that sort of restrictive dieting means. Now, I would recommend that you essentially have a good, varied, healthy, flexible diet. As I mentioned, the Australian Dietary Guidelines is perfect. It tells you what you should eat. You know the old saying of 2 fruit and 5 veg.
Yeah.
Well, it tells you all that in the Australian Dietary Guidelines. Eat some, you know, high-grain foods, avoid processed foods like McDonald's across the road there, and other outlets. So takeaways, and now we have easy access to food because we can just pick up the phone and ask them to deliver it to our door with Uber Foods or Uber Eats.
Yeah.
So this sort of style of living is problematic.
Yeah. So if I'm obese and or depressed, and I'm listening to this right now, 27 past 10 on 18th of January, what should I do in the next few hours? What should I do in the next day? What should I do in the next week? What's practical advice for us?
So, firstly, if you want to diet, for example, or you want to change your lifestyle, then think about the foods that you're currently eating. You have to write down basically what... over maybe 1 week, write down everything that you eat. Now, one girl on the program actually photographed everything that she put in her mouth, which is a good way of recording it, and look back through the week and say, did I eat all that stuff? So look at your diet, eat, try to avoid processed food. Go to the central market and get some really fresh food once a week. Build that into your week. So eating healthy. Now, we also need to move more. How much exercise are you doing? You need to do a minimum of 150 minutes per week. Now, if you don't do any exercise at all, you've got to build up to that. So build a plan to move more. If that means walking around the block nearest your house once a day, then that would be a great achievement. And you should celebrate your changes, celebrate your improvements.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, just before you leave us, what's the future for the research? And is there a place that our listeners can go to either to help you out with your research, take part in programs, or get hold of the results of your work?
Yeah, so we've published a paper on it, which you could probably just look up my surname, which is Musker, M-U-S-K-E-R, and just look up, I think I've got the paper with me somewhere.
Yep.
I could certainly send you that, David, you want to put up on your website.
And Samri? Can you go
so,
to
yeah, just have a look at our website at SAMRI. You can certainly look up my name or look up the Wellbeing and Resilience Centre if people are interested in looking at a more holistic approach to changing their behaviours.
Okay, I've got on my screen www.bewell.com. That'll get you places.
Bewellplan.com. Yeah.
Michael, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Michael Musker is Senior Research Fellow at SAMRI and Senior Lecturer at Adelaide and Flinders Universities.